Have you ever dreamed of a life designed by you, not for you? A life where you hold the reins of your financial future? At Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals all walking the path towards financial independence. We understand that success is crafted in the face of adversity. It's in these testing times that we discover our resilience, our determination, and our discipline. That's why we're inviting you to learn more about Become an Investor. It's not just about learning the ins and outs of real estate investing. It's about empowering you to take control of your financial future. We'll provide the tools, but the choice to act, to persevere, and to succeed is yours. Join us and start your journey towards living life by design. Together, we'll turn aspiration into reality and empowerment into success. Learn more at becomeaninvestor.com.
Hey, welcome everyone here at another episode of our Live Life by Design podcast. Tonight, having a great, great conversation with a very special individual in our team. Who's never podcasted before, but there's always a first time for everything, right?
That's right.
Our my beautiful team is on site. Mr. Campos, how you doing tonight?
All right, man. Just hustling and going.
Right on, man. That's the never-ending story. One of my favorite movies when I was a kid.
There you go.
Mrs. Daniela Magnani.
Yes. Hello, beautiful people.
What's up?
It's so cool to see that in person.
Always. Yeah.
You know what? Finally. It's funny. I love how you say that all the time. Every single episode. Right?
Yeah. Hello, beautiful people. Let's wake
That's
up.
That's a catchphrase now, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
We have to put it on our t-shirts.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah, and I am Wicho Medina here, just rattling up the night and always taking our conversation south. So
That was good.
Campos, tell us about our guest tonight, man.
Oh, actually, you know what? I'm going to let Danny do that.
Oh, right.
Danny's
on,
ready. Danny is
that.
Ready.
Tonight we have this young, not that young, but I see him very young. This young entrepreneur is starting his career in real estate investing. And he's a student here with us. So welcome. And congratulations for being on the podcast. Right, I hope you have fun. He graduated from Cal State Fullerton with bachelor degrees in psychology. I don't know how everybody is still inside this building. Employee of UPS for almost 10 years.
Wow.
He is a driver and he delivers goods and smile to people for almost 4 years. Welcome, right, Austin Alvarez.
Yay, Mr. Austin. Welcome, man.
Yes.
Right on. Well, hey, you know what? As always on the Live Life by Design podcast, I almost did it again.
Oh,
brought to you by Become an Investor. We always have a quote of the day. And this one is one of Austin's favorite quotes that we want to share with you. It says, life begins when you step outside your comfort zone. That's actually a pretty good quote.
That is a badass quote.
Because you know what? He's 100% right. That everything starts once you get out of that comfort zone.
Yeah.
I think that one of the things that I kind of compare comfort zones to is like the snake skins, right? Mm-hmm. The snake skin. The snake sheds his skin when he grows.
Yeah.
Same thing here. You get out of that comfort zone, you start to build, and you start to build a new comfort zone because you get uncomfortable, you start to get comfortable again, and then you got to grow again.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
But that's exactly it. Things or life or whatever it is begins when you get out of that comfort zone.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's an awesome quote. Austin, do you mind expanding on that? Why that quote? What does it mean to you?
Well, it always stuck with me since I heard it in my it was a criminology class. The guy said it from the back. I forgot what the question was, but he was just going off on a rant, and that was one thing he threw out there. So ever since then, I don't know why, it stuck with me.
So you're saying that someone you can't remember, I'm going to say by name, you can't remember his name?
I can't remember his name. I don't think I ever knew his name.
Okay.
Wow.
So someone you didn't know created an impact in your life. Unknowingly, right? His intention was maybe not to create an impact in Austin's life. And maybe you weren't there with the purpose of going there and trying to see if anybody had a quote for you. It just happened to happen.
Right.
And it stuck with you. How long ago was that?
I would say 2013.
So wow. 11 years.
13. Wow. 11 years. That's what I love about quotes, man. I mean, they go beyond their intention sometimes.
Yeah.
You know? And so much that you change and you give somebody direction. That's why, you know, it says life begins when you step outside your comfort zone. Maybe, just maybe, you were seeking direction, unknowingly seeking direction, and maybe that's why it stuck with you and then it guided you through to today.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, it's weird, right? Because once I heard that quote, yeah, it did stick with me, but did I live by it? I didn't for a long time.
Okay.
But it always stayed there for some reason. And the days that I did start coming out of my comfort zone, it just kept hitting me again,
Coming back.
Coming back. So, yeah, it never left me.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah, it is. I think that's pretty badass. And to piggyback off what you're saying, right, just to hear something somebody says that can be or at least start those life-changing events for you is badass. And then the fact that you just said you didn't do anything with it up until how long ago?
I would say probably 2020. That was the year. Before COVID, the world shut down.
Okay.
2020, January 1st, 2020, I made the decision to get out of my comfort zone daily.
Good.
Daily. And that started with physical exercise.
Nice.
Just pushing myself beyond what's possible. Maybe, you know, a little bit on the psycho side.
So I'm going to ask you something now.
Okay.
Now we're talking about your comfort zone. Right. How are you feeling right now?
Pretty good.
Yeah. I'm comfortable. Or yeah, you still feel like your little element.
It's
out of your element a little.
I'm out of my element for sure. This is my first podcast, but I'm feeling good now. I'm
good.
I'm
but that's the thing, right? And here's what we're going to hear. Right now, you started off a little kind of away from the microphone, and by the end, because you're going to get more comfortable, and there's your growth, right?
Yeah,
you're going to be speaking more confidently. You're going to get closer to the mic. You're going to speak up with, you know. And people are going to hear your voice a lot more. I guarantee it. That's just how it goes, right? And I like the fact that, you know, you're cognizant of that. You know what I mean? Because most people just kind of go through life not even realizing that they're comfortable. Mm-hmm. And they just go out and walk around just, oh, this sucks, oh, that. But they're not doing anything about it.
Yeah.
Right? But the fact that you've thought about it, you came out of that comfort zone, been doing something, and now you say you do something every day to get out of your comfort zone. That's badass.
Why not?
Because, you know, I'll tell you why not. No.
because people like comfort. Not to.
Exactly. People love comfort.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're talking about this before we even started. We're downstairs, right? We're talking about watching TV and different things that are hard, right? It's hard for somebody to sit down and watch TV, right? And then it's hard for people not to watch TV.
Yeah.
Pick your heart. You know,
yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. I mean, do you think the previous Austin would be sitting here tonight?
Definitely not.
No.
No. No way.
So this new Austin is obviously a better version of Austin.
For sure.
Right. And then this is the change into stepping into a newer version of yourself. You know, because now, I mean, this is just the process of the podcast. Right? This is the process you saw behind the scenes, how we talk a bunch of shit and all that. and you know, and maybe you came in here with a vision of it being pretty formal, pretty like, you know, this is the way things has to be. It's formatted. And you know, that's why I say we throw shits out all the time. But at the end of the day, you know why it is? It's tactical. It's just having and helping our guests drop their guard and be comfortable. Because if you've never done it, this is very uncomfortable. To people that have never, you can have an individual sing his lungs out anywhere, in his car, in the shower, anywhere. And then you give him a mic and he'll shut down. This thing in front of us becomes a monster to many. You know, I'm in the singing world. That's why I tell you. So sometimes, you know, maybe you came in here like, oh, I don't know what to expect. And then you see us just like so relaxed and so chill, eating pizza and wings and talking about Danny's mic not standing up and shit.
Speaking mic. You know?
But at the end of the day, it's just a conversation in everyday life happenings. You know, sometimes people don't want to get uncomfortable because they fear not knowing what's next or how the next thing in life is formatted for them. Right. So they don't know how to act. They don't know how to engage. They don't know how to do whatever it takes to become the new version. So they just stay home and
do nothing.
And do you know what they know how to do, which is,
nothing. Do nothing to change. And sometimes it's easier. They want you to stay on that comfortable zone because it's easier for you to turn to the other side and do not really face that you need to move forward. It is easier for you to do not to step it up and change your life. It's easier if you just say, you know what, I'm just going to sit here and, you know, stay on the bar all night or watch TV all day, because that it's going to make other people happy, and it doesn't take too much. You don't really need to think to do things like that. I mean, everybody deserves a time to relax, right? Everybody, mm-hmm. You know, that time, it's your time, but it is easier for you to turn your face around and do not look for your problems or your growth.
Right.
So you just turn to the other side and stay on that zone where you're numb, right? You're doing nothing.
Safety.
Yep.
Yeah, but moving forward, so tell us, you know, one over questions. What made you want to become an entrepreneur?
Let's see. Money-wise, for sure.
So money was a big motivator. Factor.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and the how hard I was working to get that money.
Okay.
The job that I have now.
Yeah, so exchanging too much time for not enough money.
Not just the time, but the energy,
yeah.
Physical output.
Yeah.
Takes a lot on you. It taxes you.
Of course.
I like how you said that.
Absolutely.
I'm paying more than I'm getting.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the system, right? That's how you said earlier on, before we even came to the studio, that's the W-2 system.
Yep.
And you were there.
That's how they get you, right? That's how you get hooked in the rat race, which is, you know, you become dependent on the W-2, that weekly income or whatever it is, mm-hmm. every biweekly income. That's the conversation I was having with my son right before we came up. He wants to get on that weekly income. I'm like, no, dude, there's other ways, you know? But that's how you get hooked. And it starts at a young age, right? I mean, because that's how the system's designed.
I got hooked. I got trapped.
Yeah.
Now I'm getting out.
Yeah. I'm trapped. There you go. You know, yes.
You stay here in your in that one question, and in your answer is, I was always a dreamer. To this day, you're a dreamer. But back then, unfortunately, never figured out how to execute those dreams. And then you ended up falling into the trap of the system.
Yes.
So tell me about those dreams. What was that first dream that you said, you know what, this dream might not be par with what I'm getting in return here. I'm never going to get there.
First dream was to be a baseball player.
Okay, cool.
I wanted to play for the Los Angeles Dodgers, you know.
Yeah. Right on. As a kid, that was a dream that you had.
Oh, yeah, for a long time, yeah.
And what happened that you just...
High school happened.
Okay.
I got put in with a bunch of other players that were better than me all of a sudden.
Oh, shit.
And I didn't know. I should have worked harder.
You didn't know how to handle that.
Yeah.
I was, man, you know, I say, oh, shit, because I was hoping you were going to say you got you got positioned with a whole bunch of players that didn't know how to play. But when you said people that played better than you, my reaction was like, oh, shit, you missed opportunity, right? Because, again, you become the average of the 5 year around.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But then you didn't know how to handle that.
Was that the reality?
There were other things in high school going on.
Like girls and stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
And my attention got drawn away.
Yeah.
And I lost it. I lost the dream. I lost the dream because I was involved in other things. Because
you had better dreams.
Apparently. Yeah. Apparently.
Well, you know, let me share a trick in the industry, in the breeding industry. We used to breed high-end show horses. And our stallions, our show horses, could never be exposed to any mares. They could never mate ever till they acquired a championship. Because if they ever mated before a championship, they would never become champions. In their mind, that was the biggest distraction they could ever come across. So there was a lot of work entailed. There was a lot of work on the trainer side. There was a lot of work on the diet side. There was a lot of work on the stallion side, right? A lot of maintenance.
It's a lot of diet.
And then as soon as you put him around mares, his focus would just go there, and all the training would go down the drain in a matter of seconds. And then you just lost hundreds of thousands of dollars. You know, they didn't know. So the horses couldn't vocalize their dream. They didn't know they were on the path to being champions. But then they didn't also say, I want to be a champion. Like you said, I want to be a professional baseball player.
Right.
We were forcing them to do whatever we wanted them to do to fulfill our ego and our status in the industry. And then you'd lose it that quick because his focus was the women, you know? So, and it happens everywhere.
That's one of the things in professional sports, right? Like boxing and things of that sort. You're not supposed to be around, like when you're training, the wife or the girlfriend's not supposed to be around.
You know, soccer before the championship.
Yeah, exactly. Especially, you know, if it's a big fight. Oh, man, you know what I mean? Let them smell her.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it whatever it is, weaken, you know what I mean?
Chemicals in the body.
Exactly. The pheromones or hormones, whatever that's called.
I have a question going back to, you guys are talking that whatever.
we go on these tangents.
Go back. You say there is something that caught my attention. You say they are better than you. When you were put, it was a team that were better than you. I'm curious. Why do you say that? That was you, your person that got discouraged. I know you say you were focused, your focus turned to girls and I don't know, party or whatever it was, but when you say they're better than you, that means a lot. Like there is what exactly you felt like for you to be on that position, to look at them and say that.
I guess when I said that, I was thinking of one particular person.
Okay.
When we were the same age, we started at the same time. He was magical. The way he would fill the ball and everything about him was, wow. I don't know if I could be that. That was my thinking at the time. Was everybody better than me? No. I was in the mix. I knew I had a coach that believed in me.
You had a coach.
I had a coach that believed in me, and
you didn't believe it yourself.
I didn't.
Okay.
I did it, and I.
Then you quit, like you found the excuse to go to another.
Right. I quit my senior year, actually.
Oh man!
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Never followed through.
No, you're not going to quit. Lesson learned, right? No,
lesson learned for sure.
Yeah, there you go. That's good.
Did any of your fellow teammates made it?
Yeah, the guy I was talking about.
He made it to the big leagues, or he got a scholarship, or
there was plenty of guys who made it. I don't know where they are now. I know one. I watched one play on TV. That was pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Oh, wow.
Right on.
Yeah. Other than that, I don't know where they are right now.
What'd you feel when you saw them? I mean, other than it being pretty cool, it was cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But you didn't position yourself in, oh, shit, I could have been there?
I do all the time, I think. Anytime I go to a game.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that your passion, baseball?
It was. It was my first love.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool, you know, because, I mean, Ricardo's a baseball coach. Maybe that could be something you could look into the future, you know? So some sort of Band-Aid, right?
Oh, yeah, I'd be willing to help. Yeah.
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 Yeah, yeah. When you don't have any kids.
No.
And they're going to play baseball.
I hope so.
Yeah. And you're going to, you know, obviously that's going to be your opportunity to.
Coach Austin.
Yeah.
You know? That's pretty cool. That is actually, I mean, I coach my kids, you know, in baseball, football, and fun experience, man. Just nothing but, you know, seeing them get their first hit, their first touchdown, all that. It's badass. It's a cool feeling.
Yeah.
Know? Like, I'm sure you, when you saw your kid's first goal. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't coach my kids very much. I was actually absent pretty much all their first years when they played. But I always pick on them because they could never outplay me. It's so cool, you know? It's like I get gassed and I can't run and all that stuff. But I got my game together, yeah. You know? They cannot outplay me. And they play. They do this every day. And I'm like, dude, you should be embarrassed, you know? <It's> like, but anyways, but so what's a dream after that? The baseball dream you realize is gone, right? That's early on in life. What, and then girls came and took that part, and obviously girls, you know, it's a season, everybody's young life, right? When that goes away, what's a new dream that drives Austin to move forward?
I would say serving as best as I can to my family, to my friends, to anybody I know. I don't want to be spending my whole life at a job. I work 10 hours a day now, so almost 60 hours a week. So how much can I contribute to the people I love if I'm stuck there? That's the dream.
And how much is that 6 hours is contributing to you? Like, is that really worth to be working that many hours? Right? And I mean, everybody works, but are you really getting, if I put 60 hours in this business a week, like, and sometimes I have to do because I have my projects and stuff. So you and everybody, if you do that, the rewards, it makes you happier, right? That is what I look at. If I do that, I might do that for a week or two, but then I'm going to break time to have with the family or do stuff. You have joy doing, at least me. Don't know these guys, but if you put yourself there, like the 60 hours, you can't. I don't see a dream, sorry. But
it's true.
Well, I think that, you know,
and
it's W-2 work, right? So the 60 hours isn't actually going into anything he's building, right?
This is what I'm saying.
You're building something for somebody else, which is fine, right? I mean, you got to make a living.
It's a decent job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. So don't. I hope you're not taking it as, oh, we're bashing Austin for being a W-2. And that's not the case at all. The thing is, what drives you, and you made a couple of good points. You said serving, and I like that because I think that serving and giving is the first step to receiving, right? And I'm not saying be selfish, but yeah, it's okay to be a little selfish, right? And do things for other people for something that you can get back out of that.
I would say be selfish.
Right. But I mean, but you know, going again, there's nothing wrong with that, right? But know what your purpose, you know, or what's the saying? If you don't have a purpose, have a, or is it the other way around?
If you don't have a plan, have a purpose.
If you don't have a plan, have a purpose, right? And so I think that's a solid purpose, being able to serve and provide and give to your family. I mean, that's badass, dude. I mean, and then, you know, I'm sure you plan to get married and have kids someday. And I'm sure the same would apply, right?
I think that's pretty cool. And I do want to ask, because now I'm going to kind of jump into this next section here, because it asks about, you know, we kind of go in a little bit about your degree in psychology. Knowing what you know now, right, studying psychology, do you think that you would have been able to help younger Austin through his baseball, you know, his bad time with losing your losing or falling away from letting your dream fade away?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. How so?
You gain the wisdom, right?
Right.
You gain the wisdom as you grow, and I'm sure you guys all have wisdom now that you didn't have when you were younger.
Of course.
No, man. I'm
smart always.
Campos is a natural born.
Yeah, I wish. You know what? It's when I was in that situation, I think I could have got myself out of it. Not knowing anything that I know now today. Today just helps me, gives the tools, the vocabulary, the, you know, in psychology, there's things that you learn that you never knew about the brain, about how it works, about how you can manipulate it, trick it into, you know, working the way you want it to work.
Mm-hmm.
I for sure didn't know that as a kid, but I did know as a kid that I should be focused on the important things. I did know that.
So how much of that are you applying within? How much? So you just stated that you can trick the brain to do or believe things that are maybe not real yet. How much of that are you working toward yourself? How much is that going into Austin? And how frequent? Or have you checked the box and put that aside already, archived it, like that one quote that you didn't use for so many years? When is it going to come out of the archive, or is it being applied now? Like all those learnings, all those tricks to understand the human brain.
It's already being implemented.
So you're implementing it.
Every day.
Every day. And do you think, I mean, this is going to be like a stupid question, but I have to ask it, right? Do you think that psychology side of you, that degree, is going to help you expedite whatever success means to you?
I believe so. It has to. It's a skill. It's a knowledge that I've learned. It's a degree for a reason, I think.
Yeah. You know where I think I didn't know this about you, but I think it goes fucking hand in hand with sales, man.
That's what I was trying. Yeah. I was kind of guiding that, because that's one of the questions I have, right? Is because you talk about how with your psychology degree, you're able to relate everything that you learned from the textbooks to everyday life. And just that, because sales, real estate, something new, whatever it is, requires a mindset change, right? And then believing that you can actually accomplish what it is you're setting out to do. Mm-hmm. And then telling the subconscious mind, right? Because I'm no expert on the brain. I just read things, right? But telling the subconscious mind, this is where you're going to go. And then what ends up happening? It starts to make it reality.
Right.
Do you practice? Is there any, I guess, you know what, I'll ask. I mean, is there any exercises or anything that you can share that, you know, our listeners can take advantage of that you know, you may be able to, from the textbook side of things or the learning of psychology, is there anything that you can share that maybe, you know, our listeners can benefit from?
You know, I like to jump in the cold water.
I was thinking about that.
That's the one. That's the major one.
I was just thinking about that.
It's a strong one.
I was thinking about that.
I did one last night after we got off our call. I just did it.
Oh, you posted that, huh?
Yeah. The group.
I did. But last night, after our call, I just went straight in.
Okay, so I'm mucho. I'm stuck. I don't know what to do out of my life. I want to get into a career of real estate investing. I don't know where to start. I'm confused. What can you tell me? What would be a good exercise, a good step? And I'm not going to jump into no fucking cold water. Okay.
I know. I was
oh. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. What can you tell me? What's something practical within my reach, within my resources, a notebook, a pen, an audio book, a quote. What can I utilize?
This podcast is sponsored by Become an Investor. Here at Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals, all working a path towards financial independence. We're about empowering you to take control of your financial future. Well, how? Well, most of us got started with foreclosure leads, and you now can too. Follow the link in the show notes below, and for a limited time, you can get our foreclosure ebook. With that, we'll also send you up to 10 free leads in your local area. So get those leads. Get this book so you too can get started on your path to living life by design. Now back to the podcast.
Is what can I do to help myself in convincing myself that I can continue moving forward and not be neutralized in that one quote? Get out of my comfort zone.
Well, that's why I bring up the water, right? Because the cold water, when you see it, I promise you this. I feel like I'm a pro, but I promise you this. Every time I see it, I don't want to do it. I don't want to. My brain talks me out of it. It gives me excuses. Oh, try it tomorrow. You don't need to do it today. It's okay. But I still force myself to go in there and do it. So with this, the same thing. If this is something which is uncomfortable for me, I got to just do it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You just do it. And you start the learning process like I did here.
Mm. So just, okay.
But there's a technique on the ice, right? With the cold water. It's the breathing. Isn't that the technique when you go to the...
To adapt in the uncomfortableness.
But what does that... Is that what it is? That's the mindset the mindset shift?
Just do it.
Just do it.
Just thank you.
The hardest decision is showing up, right?
But I think that applies to a lot of things, right?
Yeah, so, like, I wouldn't even go by the ice, dude.
No,
I'm not saying show
but,
up.
But here's my thing. So, like, I, like today, okay, I had a full calendar, and some of it, you know, was related to maybe some even coaching side, you know, coaching, and then I had some scheduled door knocking. And you know what? By the time that time frame came around, I didn't want to do shit. I ain't gonna lie. I was just like, oh man, I'm done, you know? But then I just did it because that's my commitment, right? That's not like jumping in water, right? But I mean, I guess what I'm trying to get at is you're applying the same discipline, right? Because that's what it is. It's discipline. Discipline is doing something that you don't want to do and you still do it.
You're training your brain.
So is that what it is?
Training your brain.
Is there steps to that?
Yeah.
To train your brain?
Yeah.
It takes the courage, the decision to go in.
So from an academic, you know, like you said, from the textbook, is there like a step-by-step process to... Okay.
I have
You have an answer for that?
No, I have something to compare,
from,
okay?
From our crazy lady?
Yeah, come on. Don't listen to these people, you and I. Look at me. Forget it. So I do like to run marathons, and there's a process that I need to go through. You know, when I started, I start running, not really running, jogging a mile, and then I would run 0.25. I would sprint on the end. First mile, then half. I sprint on the end, then 0.75, then I would run a mile, then I would start with 2 miles, do the same. But that was how I break my brain to just keep going. The day I had the rupture of my ligament, I finished the marathon with one leg, basically. But there is a brain training on the process. Remember how many miles I say was like almost 800 miles on the training for you to finish. That's why I ask you, is any breathing that you keep helping? Like, for me, it was a breathing thing on your end, with the ice. You get in your feet and then you breathe. I don't know, something like that.
Sure, you can do that.
Yeah, but how long? A marathon is 26.2 miles, right? How long it's... You train your brain to do that. What's the breaking? Well, like at the marathon, you have 20 miles and there is a wall. They call this the wall. And when you pass the wall, it means that you just force the limit of yourself to just keep going to finish the marathon. I hit the wall like 3 times. So is that a point where you were on your training or on your ice that you really need to bring the ousting out? That is what I want.
For me, I just go 0 to 100. I didn't train for. I just jumped right in.
You're badass.
But yeah, sure. You can do things in measurable accounts. You could reach your limit, your quitting point. Go a little bit further. Stop there, and the next day, do a little bit more. Do a little bit more, and that's how it expands, for sure. Start with cold showers.
Start with cold showers.
30 seconds. I don't know.
Dude, I heat up my pool in the summer.
I'm the same way. I don't really like the cold. I don't really like it. I don't really like it, but I still feel like I have to do it because it helps me psychologically.
Really?
It does.
And overall, the benefit is the discipline.
There's a whole bunch of health benefits, but my most important thing is the discipline to show up to do it.
Nice.
You do it every week?
Every week.
Really?
Wow.
My longest streak was 16 days.
Every
morning, wake up, first thing, go.
Concurrently, just nonstop.
16 days.
Wow.
Every day?
16 days. As soon as you wake up, no excuses. Put on the slippers, go. Just do it.
Dude, you know what? I went to my honeymoon in Cancun with my wife, and we did the sauna, and after the sauna, you were supposed to jump into a cold pool, like freezing cold. I'm like, fuck the honeymoon, I'm out of here. I didn't do it, man. It was
That's
like,
funny.
No way, I won't do it. I don't care. You can kick me out of the hotel.
But my question would be, though, then, does that apply not necessarily just to cold water, but can you apply that same mentality to anything?
To everything.
It's like like today, right? I didn't want to do anything after, I don't remember what time it was, 4:30 or whatever it was. But like I said, I pushed myself to continue. And now here I am. I don't even know what time it is now, but now we're doing our podcast, yeah. Right? One of the things I jokingly say this to my kids all the time. Like, Dad, you know, you've been up and doing this and doing that all day. Aren't you tired? Fuck no, I'm a machine. You know, that's what I tell them. I'm a machine. Mm-hmm. I don't stop until I'm done, right? And sometimes I don't want to, I don't want to do, there's times I don't want to really show up, you know, but I have to. That's my commitment, and that's what drives me, right? Mm-hmm. If I say I'm going to do something, I might be a little late, but I'm going to still show up, and I'm going to be here and do what I need to do. And that's my drive, my push, it just keeps me going to continue to move forward. I know not everybody's like that.
Definitely right? not.
Again, so is it just a matter of telling our listeners, try small increments and they continue to grow? Do something outside of your comfort zone?
Say maybe, do it consistently every day.
That's right.
Consistently.
So one of the things that I kind of follow is trying to do something new every 90 days for my growth, right? Or growth in my company, or growth in... maybe for my kids or growth, you know what I mean? Maybe something for my relationship with my wife, right? Just do something. And maybe this is something our listeners get advantage of as well, right? Try to do something new every 90 days and measure the growth. It's a helper.
Yeah.
Be consistent. Be consistent.
So now with this new discipline that you carry, will you ever fall into a trap of a system again?
I hope not.
You hope not. So with this new discipline that you have, procrastination shouldn't be in your vocabulary, right?
Right.
It's non-existent?
It comes from time to time. It
So it does?
It whispers in my ear.
Well, I mean, I'm going to assume because you're human, right?
Right.
Okay. And then fear, too, kind of kicks in, too?
Of course.
Yeah. What's your biggest fear right now?
Right now?
Yeah. I mean, you overcame the mic and the podcast and all that, right? I mean,
my biggest fear is not having a tomorrow.
Hmm.
Right now, currently.
Why is that?
I'm not done.
That's not for you to decide, though.
I know it's not.
Hey, I say the same. I like that.
But, okay, so aside from that, what's another fear? I mean, you're an entrepreneur, you're an upcoming entrepreneur. Is there any fears in the process of your entrepreneurship venture? Is it? I mean, anything that could be up in your mind? Maybe this doesn't work. I'll try this, or if it doesn't work, I'll quit and just stay at my job.
Yeah, that the fear of failing, the fear of not taking this opportunity and running with it, the fear of staying there forever.
Not taking advantage of the opportunity.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And give me three reasons why you wouldn't.
Take advantage of the opportunity?
Yeah.
I want to say fear, but I don't think I'm going to let fear stop me.
Okay.
But it's a word that came up. I can't think of anything else.
Yeah, exactly. There shouldn't be any.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be any reasons whatsoever.
I was going to say because I'm tired, but that's just an excuse. So what?
Yeah, but...
So what?
Good. I'm glad you're tired. You should be tired. Entrepreneurship is very tiring. In the mind, to the soul, to the heart. Right? You just got to develop the skills to be able to endure that. Because, you know, it's funny. I was just brainstorming. I parked in the back. I realized I didn't have my keys. I was pissed. And then I figured, I want to burn this out. And I wrote like it's not a poem, it's not a story, it's not a song. I just started writing my thoughts based on one of our slides. Is it, can I do it and is it worth it? And then started writing and writing and writing and writing and writing and writing and writing. And it came down to discipline, man. Like, you know, you continue doing things when nobody's watching, when nobody's cheering. Remember yesterday in the call when I went like this, and there was nobody behind me, right? Because there's absolutely nobody behind you, ever, 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 ever. In real life, you're gonna get a lot of cheerleaders. You're gonna get a lot of false encouragement.
And haters.
And haters.
And haters. And you're going to get a lot of that from your loved ones, too. You know, false encouragement is those people that say they love you and they respect you and they want the best for you, but they wouldn't get you out of a situation when you're stuck in a situation that was created through one of your endeavors. You know, so that discipline in your degree is very important because it's going to take you. It's going to take you, I mean, it's almost going to be like that quote. You haven't put it to practice to its full potential. And then one day, that tool is going to come up. And you're going to be able to negotiate and close some of the best fucking deals ever.
Right.
Because sales is 100% psychology. 100,000% psychology. Don't you guys agree?
Oh, yeah. 100%. And I think that then... Knowing, kind of reading and knowing what you know, right? I mean, dude, you have an advantage. But again, to Weechel's point, man, it's just a matter of pulling that knowledge off the shelf and then activating it, right? And yeah, I think, you know, this is like a head start.
Oh, hell, you know what I mean? Yeah, dude.
It's like a head start, dude.
Hell yeah. 100,000%.
But you got to take advantage of this.
You know what I like on the psychology? Like, seriously, when you go and you talk with psychologists, therapists, and I do therapy all the time, by the way. I love it. I get stuck. I get cock on my head. I just call. Say, hey,
I need help.
911, get me. No. It's because when you need to develop that skills, one of the things that's always going to help you. It's one thing that I always say, you need to be a good listener. And when you go, like, when you go to therapy, they don't give you the answer. They actually help you to look at your mass, right? And then they ask you, so what do you need to do next? Basically, right? So, yeah, that is what they
do. You already know what's next.
Yeah. They just bring you to that, you know, they just give you a freaking reality check, like a slap on the face. Pew, pew, right?
Yeah.
Crazy. So you are going to be in the position to just sit there when you have a conversation with someone and really help, right? And that it's going to be, I think, a powerful tool for you on the business, just to know and maybe bring some awareness for the other ones that are, you know, for the ones that are out there that doesn't really face their reality. So being on that position, it's actually pretty nice, like professionally. I mean,
yeah.
That's going to help you a lot.
I'm gonna give you a challenge, man. You've given UPS 4 years of your life.
Almost ten.
It says 4 years right here.
4 years as a driver.
As a driver.
Different.
Oh, okay.
But still same.
Okay. Well, let's go off of these 4 years, right? Delivering goods and smiling to people for almost 4 years. Give yourself the space. Give yourself a four-year space in this industry. And it will completely change your life. It will completely and totally not only change yours, but like you said earlier, that of your parents. You know, that of your loved ones. That of them who you want to serve to, right? There's a misconception out in the industry that this business gives you that instant gratification. Yeah, I mean, I've heard stories where people walk one block, get a deal under contract, and make 10 grand. Yes, it's happened before, right? I was sharing with you yesterday after our call, Austin and I stayed a few minutes after, and I told them, you know, I've known of wholesale fees that have gone as low as $2,500 and wholesale fees that have gone up to $167,000 for the fee. You know, two pictures to the house, never entered the house and made $167,000. $2,500 isn't an industry standard, right? But $167 isn't either. You know, everything in between is possible.
Right.
Right. But it takes the same amount of discipline that it took you to be a psychologist. It takes the same amount of discipline that it took you to get the job, qualify, and stay there for 10 years. It takes the same amount of discipline for you to wake up and do those 16-day cold water streak that you went. And convince yourself that all you have to do was get your body out of bed and jump into water. It takes exactly the same amount of energy once you've made the decision. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So you know, I don't know how long it took for you to get your degree, but you started and you went across the finish line, right? Up to date, I mean, I thought it was 4 years, but apparently it's 10 and you're still there. Now you started this new venture in real estate investing. Don't set a timeline to what success is going to be for you, because success is going to differ every deal. Every single time it's going to change. It's going to change. The definition of success is going to change. But if you keep that same discipline that you've carried through all these different patterns that you shared for us, I can't say guarantee, because I can't guarantee you tomorrow, right?
Right.
I can't. I mean, nobody can guarantee you anything. But I will tell you that if you stay the course with that very same discipline, that is one of the fucking scarcest traits in entrepreneurship, you'll be successful, man. 100% with no doubt in my mind. And I think you could be a great negotiator, which is invaluable.
Oh, yeah.
Invaluable in margins.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Let's wrap it up, man. Any final thoughts? Any questions? Any questions?
No.
Austin, any comments?
I'm in this for the long run.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna hold you to that, man.
And I was gonna say, you know, it's kind of again piggybacking off what Weider was saying is that, you know, he made mention about a $2,500 wholesale deal. That's success as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I shared with you guys last year. I was kind of stuck, and my first deal out of getting stuck was a $2,500 wholesale deal. And you know what? I was happier than shit than one of my $10,000-$20,000 deals. But it was because I needed to get out of my rut.
Yeah.
And that was, I mean, fuck, I was happy as shit, man. And sometimes it's not about the money. It's just the accomplishment, right?
The accomplishment, 100%.
You know?
100,000%. The money's important, and it's needed. But the feeling and that fulfillment, that thing pumping in your heart,
yep,
is I want to do it again.
Exactly.
And I don't want to do the $2,500. You detach from the check. You detach from whatever that amount is. You just want that experience again, you know? And guess what? You're going to be better because now you have knowledge.
Yep.
Now you can get that little tool of knowledge that you've gained along with what you already carry and then upgrade into a better, bigger deal. Or you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And that's exactly what happened. It's like I went flat for a while, hit that $2,500, can't even talk, $2,500 deal.
Yeah.
And then the next one was 10 times that, right? And I was happy as shit again. You know what I mean? But it was just, it wasn't the money. It was the accomplishment of getting out of the rut and then moving on to the next deal.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool.
It is cool. It is cool. Danny?
I don't know. You guys are talking about, but what I like on the process is the rush. You know, I don't know if you're like me, but when everything's in negotiation and everybody goes crazy and the day before they close escrow, I am just like crazy as hell.
That's your favorite part?
It is the favorite part because I know I had done everything that it's going to bring me to the close.
Yeah.
And that it's when I'm just like, I'm fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But everything else is good too. Breaking the walls, it's amazing. And I'm going to tell you one thing. Be selfish. Be selfish with your time.
Mm-hmm.
If you really want to help your parents, you know, you have the dreams, you help others. I'm going to say something because I am on the point of my life that I'm freaking selfish with my time. Like it's either going to move me forward and help me go to the next step. And if you are that person that's helping me to move forward or it's on the process or I can bring value or it's bringing value for me, you're going to stay there. If that person is doing nothing but just annoy me, it's on my way.
Mm-hmm.
So get out of the way. I'm just like there, like that right now. So be selfish with your time.
That's a golden nugget right there. 100%. You know, the other day here in the class we had upstairs, I spoke about folding time.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
Or buying more time. Right? So I'll share a quick story. We had one of our students that he was stuck. He couldn't have any success in his business because he didn't have the time needed to put into the business.
Oh, okay? I know they started.
So then this guy went and refied his house and got a chunk of change, a huge amount of money. Okay, I think it was 200 grand, 180,000, something like that, from the equity of his house. And then he was always complaining that, so he got like 180 grand and then his payment dropped 800 bucks. Okay. So there's two positives, right? His payment went down 800 and he got 160 grand and 180 grand in cash. So I told him, well, why don't you buy some time from you? And he said, what? And I said, yeah, because he called me. So I'm like, hey, this happened. Can you walk me through a process? Can you make me help me make a plan? I told him, yeah, why don't you call yourself and have a conversation with yourself and consider buying some time from yourself. And he said, well, how the hell do you do that? And I'm like, well, if you already have a surplus of $800 because your payment dropped, why don't you go talk to your boss and tell him, hey, you know what? Whatever's equivalent to $800 a month, I need you to cut me down in hours. And then don't disconnect from the activity of those hours. Just repurpose those hours into your real estate investing business. Does that make sense?
It does.
So now you allow this business to buy you out of your job. Buy your time back. Because now, right now, you've sold your time to somebody else. It doesn't belong to you. Even if you wanted to take the time for yourself, there could be consequences. They can say, you know what? Like the guy where I got the migraine. I told him I got a migraine. I can't show up anymore. And then he called me the next day. He said, don't come back. I need people that don't get migraines. Right. So I'm like, oh, shit. So there's a consequence.
Yeah.
Right. But in your space, because you said you're doing almost 60 hours a week, man, maybe shoot to do, you know, your regular 40 and buy 20 hours. Maybe that could be your first milestone. You know, I'm going to shoot to buy 20 hours back for myself. Oh, where are you going to get that money from? Well, I'm going to start working my real estate business. And then I'm going to set a plan in 3 months. I mean, we're going to talk about the 3-month plan, right? In 3 months, 90 days, in where I achieve buying 20 hours from myself. And then I can go to my boss and say, you know what? I can't do 60 anymore, man. I got to do 40. That's it. But then don't go home to Netflix.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
No way. Keep that same discipline you carry and say, okay, now I'm going to do 20.
In your business.
In your business. Because I do 2 hours a day in my business, real estate business. Right? And that's 7 days a week. That's 14 hours. Imagine what you could do with 20.
Big difference.
I can tell you right now that plan's already in effect.
Oh, it is?
Mm-hmm. Right on.
Good for you, man.
Perfect.
There you go.
Perfect. Cool. So any closing statements, closing thoughts for upcoming entrepreneurs like yourself looking to get into real estate investing? What can you tell them? What has it been for you so far here at the community? What do you think people should do what can they do to get out of their own way and just take action?
Get lucky and find a great group of people that I called off a sign.
Oh, you called off a sign. Right on.
Got lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, hopefully some people, you know, get lucky enough and come across those signs, right?
If it calls you, do it.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah, that's important, man. If it calls you, yeah, that is powerful.
Answer the door.
Yeah. Fucking A, dude. What a way to close the night. Thank you very much for that. That is right awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
All right, people, beautiful people.
Good night, beautiful people.
Good night.
Oh, goodness. No, just thank you, Austin, for being here with us.
Everybody give us a finger.
Yeah. What? What is it? If you guys want to learn a little more about us, go to info@becomeaninvestor.com. Follow us at
all the social media.
All the social media.
At Become an Investor. We lost that one.
Yeah.
And hey, hit that like button, man. Hit those likes. Give us those 5 stars. Hit us up. Bye.